Okay, we just pulled into Grinnell. Grinnell, Iowa, pulled off I-80 and are finding the venue for the Pete Buttigieg Town Hall today, Friday, December 6th. It's a special edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer with producer Matt Alvarez. As listeners know, we've been checking out the rallies, the town halls of various candidates crisscrossing Iowa. There are still, on this date, 15 candidates in the race for the Democratic nomination. And of course, in recent weeks, Pete Buttigieg has ascended to the top tier of candidates, at least according to polling here in Iowa, I believe in New Hampshire as well, the first two tests of the Democratic candidates. That Iowa caucus just under 2 months away. So we're going to go to this town hall with Pete Buttigieg featured. Talk to some of his supporters. We'll find out how many of them are solid supporters, how many of them are just kind of looking, surveying the candidates as they stand right now to experience what Pete Buttigieg has in terms of the issues, the kind of presidency his vision represents. So we'll find a place to park, go into the Harris Center, the venue for this town hall. And before the town hall gets started, we'll talk to some supporters. Okay, we found a parking spot, and we're all locked up just about a block away from the venue, the Harris Center on the campus of Grinnell College. Nice fall day, crisp leaves all over. Sun just about to set. It's a 4:30 start set for this town hall, and people walking into the venue, the Harris Center. 30 degrees out here on this Friday afternoon, just after 4 o'clock. We're making our way outside the venue because there's a long line of, well, a longer line than I can see the end of here on the Grinnell College campus, people waiting. Let's just sample some opinion, find out why people are here. Hi, ma'am.
Oh, hello.
I'm Ben Kiefer with Iowa Public Radio.
Hi,
I see
nice
you've got
to
a Boot Edge sticker on.
I do. That.
Can you share who are you and where you're from?
Well, my name is, yes, Simone, and I'm here from Grinnell.
So why are you here?
You know, I'm just curious to listen to Pete in person. I'm currently supporting Bernie Sanders, but I think he's a really interesting candidate, Pete. And when you have the opportunity here in Iowa to see as many candidates as you can, mm-hmm. like to keep an open mind.
As far as generalizations go, you know, Bernie Sanders, more of a progressive candidate, safe to say, than Pete Buttigieg. So what are you weighing in your mind when you think about the policy differences represented by these two?
The way I've thought about it, I lean more towards the progressive policies, and yet, you know, a little part of me, I've just really liked several things that Pete has said. I find him highly intelligent, and I can't pretend to know who is going to defeat Trump for certain, and I really, that's like a huge priority now.
Okay. Simone, thanks for your views. We'll let you enjoy the town hall and take part.
Thanks. Have fun. Mm-hmm.
Going down the line here, this long line outside of the Harris Center to see Mayor Pete Buttigieg in this town hall. Let's just dive in here. I really see people of all ages, men and women of all ages, gray hair, no hair, brown hair, red hair, beards, no beards. Let's just dive in here to this man. Hello, sir. I'm Ben Kiefer with Iowa Public Radio.
Oh my God, I listen to you.
Hi. You're a fan of Iowa Public
Radio? I listen to IPR every day, yeah, okay. On my ride to work. I work in Des Moines, but I live here.
Okay, what is your name?
Jacob.
Very good. So why are you here?
Pete inspired me. I really like his message. I think that the country needs a new form of unity and healing now.
You said you really like his message. What would you say his message is?
I would say his message is an Obama-type message of unification. I think that he is someone who even conservatives could look at and reach across the aisle and support.
He would, of course, be our first openly gay president. Is that the biggest hurdle that you see, or do you see it as a hurdle?
I think since gay marriage has been legalized, I think that That's becoming less of a socially dividing issue. I talk to a lot of conservatives on a daily basis, like at work, and I'm friends with some. And I think that's not as divisive as it used to be an issue.
How would you describe yourself in terms of being a, are you firmly a Mayor Pete supporter at this point, or are you still looking?
He would be my number one pick. I also like Elizabeth Warren, but if the caucus happened today, I would be in Mayor Pete's corner.
Are you prepared to support whomever gains the Democratic nomination?
Oh, absolutely. I think Donald Trump is an existential threat to the country, and anyone would be better than him.
Jacob, there. Yes. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks.
Hey, guys. You got really ugly Christmas sweaters on.
Thank you.
Congratulations. I'm Ben Kiefer with Iowa Public Radio. You got a minute? Of course you do, because you're waiting in line. So you guys are all in your, I'm going to say all in your early 20s, right? You're undergraduates here at Grinnell College. Tell me your name and where you're again, where you're from again.
I'm Ryan. I'm from California.
How would you describe the point at which we are in our history? What does the 2020 election represent for you as someone in your early 20s?
It's definitely interesting seeing how our country is getting separated and it's like being so polarized in like so many different issues, more than ever, I believe. And I just I feel like whoever gets this next nomination is going to be huge for how our country looks for the future, especially as other countries are developing at such a rapid pace. So
are you looking for a candidate that unifies the country?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like if we're a unified country, that's what I want for I want the best candidate for our country. So
all right, thanks guys. Yeah. Line's moving. Okay, so we talked to a few people. It is cold out here. It's chilly. I wish I had one of those ugly sweaters, those ugly Christmas sweaters, because I'm standing out here in a T-shirt, and we're filing in with the others now we've been talking to into the venue for this town hall, which will get started in just a couple minutes. Let's see what's happening.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to a special edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. At this point in our coverage, Harris Hall at Grinnell College has filled up with over 550 people, standing in a not very large room with both an American and Iowa flag in the backdrop. Pete Buttigieg has made his case for why he's running for president, and he's now taking questions from the audience.
So in June, an elderly black man was killed in his own home by a white police officer in South Bend, Indiana. And once that happened, you met with the press before you met with the man's family. And you met with the police, I think, before you met with his family. And the officer wasn't fired because of that. I just want to, like, wonder what the justification was or what your thought process was behind that, because I was reading about it and it really upset me. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that I think should ever happen in our country.
Good. So thank you for asking. A few of the details are incorrect there, so I just want to clear it up. This did not take place at the gentleman's home. It took place in a parking lot at about 3 a.m. There was a phone call that somebody had been going through cars, and a police officer responded to that call. According to the police officer, he was attacked with a knife, but his body camera was not activated at the time. And so there's no way, we've not seen any evidence that clears that up. It's one of the reasons I called for an outside investigation on what happened, and that investigation's going on right now. I also met with the family of the individual who was killed. His name is Eric Logan. I met with that family that day. I actually knew some of his family members from before. And have had conversations throughout that week and ever since with community members, with family members, and of course with the police about what this meant for our city. I can't say that we have solved the problems around policing in America, in our city or in any city. But what I can tell you is that we have worked side by side to make enormous progress, and that because I have seen the anguish that this causes in a community that I'm responsible for holding together, I know what is at stake in making sure that we have a president who is committed to supporting police accountability, police legitimacy, and racial justice in every community in the United States. And I would invite you to continue to look at what we do going forward, as well as what we've done, to understand why I'm practicing what we preach back at home. Thanks.
I spoke with you in February or March, last time you were here, and it was right after the Green New Deal had been released by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and some other representatives. And I asked you what you thought about it and if you would consider implementing it. And you said that it would be a good blueprint for climate policy moving forward. And then as you've released more policy, I've been disappointed because I feel like you've gone back on those promises, those progressive promises that you made. So in a time that is a time of crisis, that is generation defining, how can we trust you while you're taking money from corporate donors and attacking progressive leaders like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders to lead our country into a brighter future?
Okay, so first of all, I'm not attacking anybody. We definitely have policy disagreements and we lay them out. But that's what a campaign is for. And we're gonna do it respectfully, we're gonna do it honestly. Secondly, I don't take corporate PAC money. We have, I think, over 700,000 individuals, human beings, who have contributed to this campaign. Since I saw you last, I've published what my idea of my Green New Deal looks like. I hope that you will come around and support it, because what it does is it gets our economy carbon neutral by 2050, which is what we've got to do, and what, frankly, all of the different plans look at in some way or another. One of the really important things about getting this right is we can't let climate's too important. Our lives are on the line. It is too important to let it keep being another partisan battlefield. And it's one of the reasons why part of the emphasis in my plan is not just to do the things we know we've got to do policy-wise, carbon tax, renewable energy investment, conversion of buildings, fleet, industry, you name it, but also calling more people into being part of the solution. It's why we have such an emphasis on agriculture. The real question is, can it get done? Otherwise, all of the elegance and excitement of each of our plans in their impact gets multiplied by zero. And so it's why I've focused on putting together a plan that gets the job done and can happen. And I'm not just talking about the politics of navigating Congress. I'm talking about the need as a governing imperative to do these things in a way that calls the American people together. Not that everybody's going to agree. Not going to happen. But to keep, rather than blow up, that American majority that is ready to do the right thing. So I don't know if I'll be able to win you over or not, but that's why I believe this is the most responsible, progressive approach, whether it's on climate or on anything else. So do you want to go ahead and do the thing?
Pete Buttigieg took about a half dozen questions from the audience, some critical of what his stances are, and he answered them. This event concluded with some Grinnell College students raising some large signs on bed sheets, a protest. One said, Wall Street Pete.
Hope you will used to Pete. You will kill. No, I won't. You will kill us? That's really mean. No, I'm here to help you. Pro corporate funding equals climate chaos. That's why I don't take corporate PAC money. And Wall Street Pete, I remember when they said the same thing about Obama, and then he set up the CFPB, put Elizabeth Warren in charge of it, and delivered some of the toughest regulations on Wall Street ever. So,
and now that the town hall has wrapped up, let's see if Mayor Pete Buttigieg made any memorable impressions on the crowd.
Joining us also, Clay Masters here, of course, host of Morning Edition and Caucus Land co-host. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Ben.
So this event is over. You've been to many of these political events for many different candidates. So what struck you about this one?
Well, I mean, Pete Buttigieg has been doing this kind of event now for quite a while. He's still delivering a lot of the same lines that he has been. But what's different now is that, I mean, he's starting to get more pushback from the audience. You know, earlier in the year, people were still trying to just figure out who he is. But now that there's kind of a narrative around his campaign and he's been doing really well in polls, you're getting the crowd asking questions, pushing back. There was one about how he handled a shooting in South Bend, Indiana. There was also a question about his higher education policy. So you're starting to hear just some pushback from the crowd.
And he seems very comfortable, or getting comfortable in that pushback at his town hall. So this is part of the Pete Buttigieg identity.
Yeah, and he's a pretty polished candidate as well. I mean, he's very articulate and seems ready to come back with anything, and sticking to some of the points that he's been making throughout the entire campaign.
Okay, thanks, Clay.
Yeah, thanks, Ben.
We're outside the hall, outside the concert hall where this was held, and let's talk to a few people to see what their impressions of this town hall with Pete Buttigieg is. Ben Kiefer with Iowa Public Radio. Do you have a second?
Sure.
Are you together here?
Yes.
Okay. Can I have your names, please?
My name is Stacy Schmidt.
Andrew.
Are you Mayor Pete supporters?
I am.
You are?
I am.
Okay. So how long have you been a supporter of Mayor Pete?
I became aware of Mayor Pete after he announced his candidacy, and I wouldn't say on the fence, but I was interested in hearing about other candidates. Mm-hmm. And I would say the fact that when I would listen to him in town halls, he actually answered questions. He's not divisive. He speaks a language that I think it's values-based.
Some critical questions out there about police accountability, about race, about taking corporate money. What did you think of how he handled those criticisms?
I think that Pete is just masterful at leading with his values. And I think that they're values we all share. We all want to be safe in our homes. We all want to know that the people who we have installed in power are working for us.
Let's turn to Andrew now. What did you take away from this gathering, this town hall with Mayor Buttigieg?
Well, we caught the end of it, but I think the main points that stick out to me is that Pete is a very eloquent speaker, somebody that I find very engaging, and due to Stacy's involvement with the campaign thus far, it's made me want to take interest, find out what his where his values are, but also where his stances are.
Are you, Andrew and Stacy, are you firmly in Buttigieg's camp, or are you still looking? Andrew.
I am still looking.
And I'm firmly going to caucus for Pete.
Will both of you, regardless of who the nominee is for the Democrats, will you support that nominee? Andrew?
Very likely.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time. Could I have your names and where you're from, please?
Lori Navin from Polk City.
John Stone from Polk City.
So you came all the way here just for the town hall?
Yes.
Okay. So what drew you here? Why are you here?
We want to learn more about him. He's exciting, he's young, and it was time to hear what he has to say in person.
What did you take away today? What stood out for you in this event?
That he's very calm and intelligent and firm in how he relates to people. He's got some great ideas, and I love his respect and his knowledge.
I liked how he related to the people who were had negative questions, maybe not negative questions, but had questions that were
criticisms of him.
Yeah.
So what did you like about the way he dealt with that?
He was respectful and tried to bring both sides together, tried to explain to them what his side was and why, and he understood their side of it.
But all of it was done in a great atmosphere of we're all in this together, as opposed to the vitriol atmosphere that politics has brought about. And I think it was beautifully handled by Pete.
John and Lori, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Have a safe trip home. I'm with Iowa Public Radio, Ben Kiefer. Awesome. And yeah. I noticed you asked a question to Mayor Pete, and I wonder if I could ask you about that. What is your name and where are you from?
My name is Keir Hitchens. I'm originally from Seattle, but I'm a second-year student here at Grinnell College.
Okay, good. So you stood up, you had, if I remember your question right, a critical question about taking corporate money, mm-hmm. Also about what you said was attacking more progressive candidates in the Democratic field. How did you feel he answered your question?
I think he twisted it a little bit. He said that he wasn't attacking progressive candidates, which, and he blamed the possibility of not getting action done on climate change on how polarizing an issue it is and politicizing it. And I think that he's as much to blame for politicizing it as anybody else. And with other issues like Medicare for All, he's been drawing a line in the sand saying, this is too far, Medicare for All is too far, or a very progressive climate policy is too far, and so I think he's partially to blame for that polarization.
Are you firmly behind one of the Democratic candidates right now?
I'd say I'm firmly behind both Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, but I'm undecided between the two.
Okay, so Pete Buttigieg wouldn't come into question based on what you heard today?
No. Like I said in my question, I was very interested in the Buttigieg campaign when he first came to Grinnell, which was in March or April, March or February, and no one could pronounce his name. But that was also before he had any concrete policy. And now that I've seen his concrete policy, I think that that doesn't quite match up with the progressive things that he's been saying.
Even though you're more in the Warren or Sanders camp, if Buttigieg would become the presidential nominee, would he have your support?
Of course, of course. I think any competent adult in the general election would have my support. Because
there is that question out there that Bernie supporters or Warren supporters, if they don't get their person, that they may stay home. You know, this is a question.
It's a question. I don't think that any registered Democrat or supporter of Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren is willing to stay home at risk of having more years of Trump. I don't think that that's possible. I also reject the notion that that we have to just pick the best candidate to beat Donald Trump, because we can do better than just beating Donald Trump. Just because Joe Biden is better than Donald Trump doesn't mean he's qualified to be the president of the United States. And I think he's demonstrated that in recent weeks. And I think that Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders would do a better job than even a Pete Buttigieg.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Okay, the folding chairs being put away here at the Concert Hall in Grinnell College. And the cleanup continues here after this town hall by Pete Buttigieg. We've heard from his supporters, some who support him, others who have critical comments for him. This has been a town hall with Pete Buttigieg at Grinnell College as we survey the 2020 presidential candidates and try to find out what makes their supporters tick.